two things. If we had had two real elections in 2004, and instead of having two coup d'etats, Bush wouldn't be there in office at all.
Well, that's true, but I do want to say, look, I agree with you, George, but I do want to stay on tonight's topic, and I want to thank you for calling.
We
only have a few minutes left, and I do want to quickly change to another topic that happened while I was on vacation. I got to talk about Senator Larry Whitestance Craig of Idaho.
This is the Quality News Network. Democratic Senator Jim Webb and Republican Senator Chuck Hagel are backing a legislative proposal that would require U.S. troops to spend as much time at home as they did overseas before they can be deployed to the war front again. The proposal, which will be voted on later today, needs 60 votes to prevent a filibuster. Iraq's prime minister is disputing American security contractor Blackwater's version of a recent shooting that left 11 Iraqis dead. Although the incident is under investigation, Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki wants the U.S. to replace the private company. For the second day, all land travel for U.S. officials outside of the secure green zone in Baghdad has been suspended. The U.S. company Blackwater is largely responsible for providing security to all American civilian government employees in Iraq. President Bush wants a temporary law that gives the government more power to listen into foreign terror suspects' conversations to be expanded and made permanent. The Protect America Act allows eavesdropping without a court order. In a 56-43 vote in the Senate today, legislation that would have given military detainees expanded rights, such as the right to protest their detention in federal court, did not get the 60 votes necessary to cut off the debate. The latest Reuters Zogby political poll finds Congress and President Bush have record low approval ratings. 11% of those who responded gave Congress a positive approval, while 29% approved of the job President Bush is doing. A bomb blast in a Christian suburb east of Beirut today killed an anti-Syrian lawmaker and six other people. He was the eighth well-known anti-Syrian leader to be killed in the past 2 years. 20 people were wounded in the blast. According to a report from Iran's semi-official state news agency, the country has plans to bomb Israel if it attacks Iran. A top commander in Iran's Air Force says airstrikes will target Israel if the Israeli government, quote, makes a silly mistake. In Afghanistan, the U.S.-led coalition accuses the Taliban of using children as human shields in a recent battle. Also, NATO is investigating whether a recent shipment of weapons may have come from Iran. Forecasters say Tropical Storm Ivo will likely become a hurricane within a day or two off Mexico's Pacific coast. QNN.
PM Forney is on a mission to make life better. His pathway is civility. A professor at Johns Hopkins University, his pioneering study in civility produced a book called Choosing Civility, The 25 Rules of Considerate Conduct. In his book, Forney explains what is civility and what it means to be civil in today's world. He explores the recent decline of civility and offers ways that the direction might be reversed. His brilliant and engaging discourse outlines civility's basic rules, underscoring the values that practicing civility brings to our own lives, as well as to the lives of others. Forney's book is sprinkled with stimulating quotes, such as this by Dwight Curry, who said, "We have a choice about how we behave, and that means we have the choice to opt for civility and grace." For more information, click the Civility button on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
The CDC is encouraging more Americans to get flu shots. The government says that only a fraction of those who should get the shots are getting them. Every year, about 36,000 Americans die of the flu. The FDA has approved a nasal spray flu vaccine for children between the ages of 2 and 5. Previously, the FluMist spray was okayed for children over age 5 through adults age 49. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson is urging Congress to raise the debt ceiling limit so that the country can continue to borrow money. The current debt limit stands at just under $9 trillion. The Commerce Department reports that construction of new homes dropped to a 12-year low. In August, it fell by 2.6%. The Labor Department reports that consumer prices fell by 0.1% in August. That is the first decline in 10 months. Former CBS Evening News anchor Dan Rather filed a $70 million lawsuit today against the network and its corporate parent. Gold is trading at $729.50 an ounce. Light sweet crude is trading at $81.93 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. And at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones was up 76 points, ending the day at 13,815. The NASDAQ up 15 and the S&P 500 up 9. There's always more at our website, QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramov.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, America.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Hallelujah. Good evening and welcome to Head On with Bob Kincaid. Bob is out of town tonight. He's working down in Alabama to take care of some personal business down there. My name is Bruce Birch. I'm covering for Bob tonight and tomorrow night as well. Glad to have you aboard with us this Wednesday evening. This is normally Bob's prayer edition of the Head On with Bob Kincaid radio program. He usually tries to find those little stories to poke fun at the religion industry in the United States of America and abroad. And I was looking through some things myself, and there's just so darn much material that I don't know if I'm able to be able to get through all of it tonight. But got a number of different things I want to take a look at. Politically, labor-wise, religious—you name it. We're going to talk about it. I understand. Now, let's get one thing out of the way before we get too far into the radio program. If you want to join us on the air live and share a conversation with me tonight, you can do that by dialing 1-304-658-5453. That's 1-304-658-5453. If you are unable to use long distance, or if you don't have that capability, and you do need to use our telephone or our toll free number, you can also avail yourself of that opportunity as well. 1-877, the number 4 Head On. That's 1-877-443-2366. And as always, and I did receive quite a few emails from folks yesterday. You can also email me about the program and tonight and tomorrow. Whenever you listen to this show and something grabs your attention and you want to comment about it, drop me a line. Bruce Birch, that's B-U-R-C-H, Bruce Birch at gmail.com. I like the Google people. They have a great mail system. Anyway, it's great to be back on with you tonight, and we've got a bunch of different stuff to talk about. Not the least of which is yesterday we had this is sort of an internal thing, but we're gonna go over it real quickly because you guys rock. Every one of you listeners yesterday, I got on the air around in the 7:30 hour and issued a challenge to the listeners of the Head On Radio Network to if they like the programming and they like this show, they like me, they like Bob, they like any of the other hosts, John Fox, Peter Godbold, who follows this show with Strictly Confidential. If you like any of the programming here and you want to continue hearing it, well, you know, it is listener-supported radio, and I issued a challenge. And that challenge was to see if we could get the donations in a small window, just a small window of time, up to over $200 in that small window of time, and we broke that. And my agreement was that if you did that, I would come out of pocket 50 myself. And so, I'm going to match it. So I'm not exactly sure where the numbers are at this point of the day, but I'll find out a little bit later and give you exactly how much the tally is for our monthly expenses, which is $2,000. And we're well over two-thirds of the way there at this point right now. So, well over a third of the way there. So if you were planning on making a donation today, please feel free to do so. We could absolutely use your financial support. Now, moving on from the housekeeping issues and into some of the other stuff that's going on, I was listening in the news at the top of the hour there that our favorite moron in chief, our commander in chief, George W. Bush, the decider, said he wants to expand the wiretapping, the eavesdropping law. He wants to listen more. I want to listen more. I'm hearing this. He wants to listen more, and I'm hearing this. And I guess what really strikes me as a little bit ironic is that he says that. He says he wants to listen more. But what he doesn't do, you see, he wants to listen to conversations that aren't about him or aren't directly related to should we say terrorism? But he doesn't listen to what we're trying to tell him. He doesn't. This president has a harder time hearing the wishes of the American people than any president that I can remember. Now, I'm not that old, and I'm surely, I'm sure that there's probably someone out there who remembers a president that listened really well. Bill Clinton, he did town hall meetings. He listened to what people had to say and tried to respond. Jimmy Carter did a lot of that as well. But this president and his father and his father's predecessor, the Jelly Bean King there, Ronald Reagan, the one that everyone loves, the icon of conservative ideology. Ronald Reagan, he didn't listen well either. Of course, then again, he was an actor. He just acted like he was listening. But this president wants to increase the wiretap, the eavesdropping law. They want to make permanent a law that gives intelligence agencies more latitude to monitor overseas phone calls and emails. Now, in the middle of all this, of course, there are companies right now that that there's actually a couple of lawsuits working their way through federal court with this particular law and dealing with the entire idea that up until this law was passed, that there was illegal electronic surveillance occurring. It looks like we've got some serious things happening with regard to this, and now they want to even increase it, and it's just asinine. See, this is what happens in this presidency. Now, I've noticed this. They don't backpedal. They're not going to backpedal. They're not going to reverse course. They're not going to say, "Oh, we were wrong. Let's give you back your rights." What they are going to say is, "Oh, we were wrong. Here, let me help you away with some more rights because obviously you can't be trusted with them." This is traditionally the party of small government, traditionally the party of less government, of less intrusion into your personal life, of less spending, less involvement in the day-to-day activities of most Americans. Well, what's funny about that is that under Republican rule over the last 20 years, when there has been a Republican, 30 years, I would say, when there's been a Republican in office, those rights that you have are being taken away faster under Republicans than under Democrats. They are being taken away faster under Republicans than under Democrats. I was last night, I felt myself kind of getting sick. And of course, my immediate reaction, well, it's Bill Clinton's fault. And then, you know, there was a wreck out the intersection by my house, and I thought, oh gosh, that Bill Clinton caused that wreck. I'm saying this tongue-in-cheek, of course, and you know why. Because it seems as if everything that happens in this nation, conservatives want to blame Bill Clinton. They don't want to look inward in their own party to find the source of their source of discontent. And yet, one man stood out today. That's right, one Republican stood out and said, if Republicans don't get their house in order, they are doomed. And guess who that was? That was Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney came out and acted like he was an outsider of the Republican Party and is a man, the candidate for change in the Republican Party. Golly. What are you going to do? I mean, for real, what are you going to do? You have to sit around, and I mean, it just blows my mind. Here's an interesting little tidbit too from the campaign trail. The Republican presidential hopeful Fred Thompson yesterday. I apologize for that. It was yesterday. He was asked about what his ideas were regarding oil drilling in the Everglades of Florida, and he said, well, before he answered, he laughed, and he said, gosh, no one has told me that there's any major reserves in the Everglades, but maybe that's one of them things I need to learn while I'm down here. Oh, my God, they're so stupid. Okay, now the other thing, too, was an interesting little tidbit as well, is that Tavis Smiley, I'm just trying to round up some of these tidbits and get these things taken care of so I can get off into some other areas of the show. Tavis Smiley, an African-American gentleman who has hosted a radio show and a television show on PBS, organized a debate to be held in Baltimore, Maryland, and invited a bunch of Republicans to come to this debate, and all but one bowed out. I think it was one that bowed out. I mean, all of them. I mean, as Giuliani said no, he didn't want to have anything to do with it. You know, all of the front runners of the Republican Party said they did not want to have anything to do with going to this primarily African-American debate. It's kind of interesting because also earlier this election cycle, Univision, the primarily Latino network, especially work on the cable there, organized another candidate forum for Republicans, and they all bowed out of that one too. So apparently the message is, if you're black or if you're brown, the Republican Party doesn't want to have anything to do with you. Well, that's fine, because the Democratic Party would love to have you aboard. We'd love to have you aboard. We want to talk about progressive change in America. Now, Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi may not be interested, but I'm interested. The party that I belong to wants to know. Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi, there in Washington, D.C., you know, they may not want to fight the president on this war, but most Democrats that I know are interested in fighting the president on this war. So, you know, if you are a person of color, white included, and you feel that your membership in the Republican Party has gotten you nothing but dismay and embarrassment, and rightfully so, you know, come over and join us on the other side of the aisle. I'll bet you'd be pleasantly surprised that the big tent party, the party of Thomas Jefferson. Yeah, we've been around a little bit longer. We'd be more than happy to welcome you aboard. It's now 19 minutes now after the hour here on the Head On Radio Network. If you're on hold, we'll get to your calls right after the break. This is Head On with Bob Kincaid. Bruce Birch sitting in for Bob today. Glad to be back with you. It is Wednesday. We'll be right back.
Say a little prayer for you. Thank you.
you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Went to Disney World in Orlando 2 years ago. We didn't realize it, but I found out later they call it Gay Day. We saw several things that just were shocking. But the worst part of it was these people would kiss openly, you know, and embrace. But if we gave them a funny look, they would say rude things to us. Oh, yes, they were very hateful, very effeminate.
Church Lady Gone Wild. Meet Brother Russell this Wednesday on Strictly Confidential, 9 p.m. Eastern.
This day is mine. How do I look? How do I feel?
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580. Or go to peacecorps.gov.
All right, you're back on with Bruce Birch. This is Bruce Birch. I am covering today for Bob Kincaid, who is out of town, and really grateful and honored at the opportunity to be back on the air for the second day in a row after the train wreck that was yesterday's show. I'm surprised that men in little black in a little white suits pulling up in a little black limousine didn't cart me off to. Spent some time in some rubber room somewhere. I was bouncing off the walls a little bit yesterday. I'm unable to. I just want to tell you up front. I am unable to see my call in cure. Cure a word? I'm sure someone will let me know. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to take calls as they come, and if there's a call in the hopper, I will I'll call for it, and you just announce yourself and you come on. Let's see who we have. If we have someone on line one, who am I speaking with? No? Okay, well, let's not, we'll try not to do that all night. I did want to, this is prayer meeting edition for Bob's show. The religion industry in America has really taken off. We've got mega churches all over the place. We have television shows that are making millions of dollars, and all they're doing is going on the air and saying, send your money into us because the Lord needs your money. Lord doesn't need your money. Lord might need your other things, but perhaps not your money. So, you know, in the middle of all this, the Conservative Party, which right now the dominant one is the Republican Party, has worked very hard to court the votes of those folks who are religious. Now, let me just, for purposes of discussion, define in my understanding and in my estimation of the world what I believe about religion and spirituality. Okay, religion, in my view, is an application of spiritual. It can be an application of spirituality, but doesn't necessarily have to be. Religion can be used as a tool to help create better spirituality for those who are looking to do that. It can also be used as a tool to control people. It can also be used as a tool to condemn people for their lifestyles. Religion and the Bible itself, or any other holy book for that matter, have been used down through the centuries as tools to either educate or control the masses. Myself, I'm not going to, you know, give over any proclivities as far as my religious belief or non-belief, as the case may be. But I will say that, you know, in America today, of course, the dominant religion is Christianity. And many of the mainstream Christians watch television and they see people on the television. Rod Parsley is one that comes to mind. That I've seen of late that is really just over the top. But over the years, they've been the Jimmy Swaggerts. What's that that guy, the gentleman from Oklahoma? I can't think of his name. Oral Roberts. Any number of folks who have dominated the religious conversation in America, even though they belong to the minority inside the Christian religion. The majority of Christians are not... based on my estimation and everything that I've read, extremely conservative people. They are people who believe in their faith. They are people who have specific beliefs as a result of their faith, one being perhaps the anti-abortion stance or being against divorce or, you know, any number of things that are sort of based in religious teaching. But they aren't necessarily as far to the right as Samuel Alito or John Roberts, who both got nominated and confirmed the Supreme Court in the last 4 years. But still, the Republican Party keeps pandering to this deeply divisive right-wing Christian sect. And it is a sect. Here in Greensboro, North Carolina, we have a very large contingent of friends, of Quakers. And the Quakers are, they tend to be a very liberated people. They tend to be listeners rather than talkers, more forgiving and more accepting than condemning and rejecting. And it's a very interesting community. It's a very liberal community that I live in within North Carolina, where religious thought has actually engendered more liberal thought than conservative thought. And yet the other day, as I'm thumbing through the television, I'm going through C-SPAN, passing by C-SPAN, and I always pause there a little bit just to see how bad the drivel is laying around there on the floor of the Senate or the House or whatever. You know, there's an African American bishop of some church. I'm not sure where. And I don't even know his name. I don't even remember his name. But what he was talking about was how bad It would be for America if the hate crimes bill passed. If the hate crimes bill that would outlaw specific targeting of, let's call it what, you know, of the gay population in America, GBLT community, gay, bisexual, JLBT? G. I'm sure Peter will call me in. He'll correct me on the next show. But he sat there and was railing against the passage of this legislation, you know, declaring that, you know, if it passed, then he, as a minister, could actually go to jail for some of the things that he says. Well, if someone is threatening another person, then they deserve that, in my view. And that's what the hate crimes bill talks about. It doesn't talk about freedom of expression or usurping your constitutional right to freedom of speech. However, it does talk about criminalizing inciting others to violence. Anyway. You know, it's just yet another ploy by the right wing to try to criminalize, if you will, a certain lifestyle in this country. And it's damn sad because one would think that in America, everyone should have the opportunity to live free and happy lives, and yet not. That's okay. You know, that's okay for everybody. It's okay for all the colors of the rainbow, but it doesn't apply to those who have a rainbow sticker on the back of their car. So, again, as we're talking about that religious stuff, I just got to tell you, I have explored various different things, and what I've found is that there really isn't, I have not yet found a religious community that reflects my beliefs. And so, I told you earlier I wasn't going to talk about that, but maybe I will a little bit at some point. We are at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to hit up my producer and find out what's happening there, and we'll get back to you. This is Bruce Birch. I'm covering for Bob Kincaid. Head On with Bob Kincaid here on the Head On Radio Network. 1-877-443-2366 is the number. Give me a call. I'll be right back.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweats. Great prices? No sweats. Great looks? No sweats. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
This is the Head On Radio Network. The Horn.
This is Billy Shears. Join us this Friday on Foxed Up at 10 a.m. Eastern. We'll take a look at John Lennon's Thanksgiving 1974 onstage appearance with Elton John, marking the end of John's lost weekend.
That's when Yoko and I got back together the night I performed with Elton at Madison Square Garden.
Be there this Friday on Foxed Up at 10 a.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Whatever gets you through the night.
Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Herbst. I play Elizabeth Weber on General Hospital. I want you to know about a wonderful nonprofit foundation called the Jesse Cause, saving the babies from Group B strep, also known as beta strep. It's named after little Jesse, who needed 3 brain surgeries, all because his mom was never given a simple test. Group beta strep is the leading infectious killer of newborns in the United States, yet most people have never even heard of it. Amazingly, 1/3 of all pregnant women have beta strep, and it's almost 90% preventable with common antibiotics. Tell your friends about beta strep, and if you're pregnant, ask your doctor to test you. Together, we can save the babies and put an end to this devastating yet preventable bacteria. For more information, call toll-free at 877-HALT-GBS. That's 877-HALT-GBS. Or log on to groupbstrep.com. That's groupbstrep.com. Jesse and I thank you.
I'm worried about you. I'm worried about me. 'Cause around midnight aren't easy to see. Flashing red warnings unseen in the rain. This thing has turned into a runaway train.
Welcome back to Head On with Bob Kincaid. This is Bruce Burge covering for Bob on this quite amazing fall evening here in the southeast United States on the East Coast, North Carolina. Sun is setting here right now, and the air is crisp. Early fall evening. I love fall. I really do. It's really quite amazing here. And it's good to be alive today. We're going to go ahead back, or should I say, over to the phones. We do have a caller joining us from North Dakota, some guy named Bob. Bob, are you there?
Hello, Bruce. Hello.
How you doing,
How
man?
Are you?
I'm doing great, man. It's good to hear your voice.
Well, I haven't heard yours in a long time.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it has. And it's been interesting. It's been interesting. What would you call it? Last 6 years? Been very interesting. But I have to. I have to say, this little venture we've been on, this little foray into the weird and strange. Okay. Mm-hmm. The deranged, this religious holiday we've been on. Really, it's a religious holiday. You were just talking about it, Mm-hmm. The believers, the true believers, the Jerry Falwells and the charlatans and the Christians. You talked about the Christians, and I had to say something. I just had to say it. I mean,
sure.
If you were a true Christian, you couldn't follow these people. If you really were a Christian and followed the teachings of that brown skin carpenter, okay, you could not follow George W. Bush and his minions. You just couldn't do it.
No.
So, to those followers of Christ, I applaud you. To those followers of George Bush, I'll see you in hell. I will see you there. I bought my ticket back in Vietnam in 1967 and 68, okay? I got my ticket there, and I'm not asking for forgiveness because I can't forgive myself. How can I ask a deity to forgive me, okay, for following another lie?
Yeah.
Following
a lie. And that's exactly it. And that's, you hit on something there, Bob, that I think is really important to consider. And that is that in the middle of all of this, pandering of the Conservative Party to the most extreme right-wing Christian ideology.
Don't call
what happened
them.
Is it's
please, Bruce, stop that, okay? Do not call them the most extreme right-wing Christian ideology. They're not a sect of Christianity. They are a satanic group. I swear to whatever belief you want to believe in Allah, believe in Buddha, believe in Shinto or whatever, or the Pinto that didn't get banged in the back and blow up that you were driving. But do not ever equate a Republican or a right-wing Christian with Christianity. There's two different animals.
Well, I agree with you, Bob. I agree with you. I was just really more referring to what a lot of them refer to themselves as.
Well, yeah, I can call myself a balloon, but that doesn't mean I can float in the sky.
That's very true.
I mean, I can puff myself up with a lot of hot air, but that doesn't mean I'm going to get up to the stratosphere. You know what I mean?
That's true. I totally agree. I think that the hate, though, and the rhetoric that comes out of some of these supposed so-called, and I'm going to use the term very very loosely, some of the hate-filled rhetoric that comes out of the so-called houses of worship. Is nothing more, in my view, is not a whole lot different than the hate-filled rhetoric that they used to have at Klan rallies where they burn crosses.
True. That's true, Bob. Bruce, that's true.
Oh, look at that. You called me Bob.
I almost called you Bob, but Bruce, that's true. That there's hate-filled stuff that comes out of this right-wing bunch, okay? But if you read scripture, if you read the Bible, I've read the dang thing several times, and I find a lot of confusing parts in there, and I find some things that are contradictory, but I also find that this Christ character never preached about war. He always preached about peace and love and caring for one another and how to take care of each other. And I'll tell you what, this Christ that they speak of in this scripture is a very liberal guy. I mean, he's nothing like me. I couldn't even measure up to the bottom of his, bootstrap, let alone his sandals. I couldn't even, there's no way I could walk in his shoes because I am like Mike Malloy. I really am. The first time that my dear Glenda ever heard Mike Malloy on the radio, she said, Bob, he sounds just like you. And, I have to admit, I have hatred. I hate hypocrisy. I hate ignorance. I hate willful ignorance. I hate stupidity because they are destructive forces, and they are destroying this nation. We have hypocrisy. We have stupidity. We have willful stupidity. And then we got George Bush. And he is below all those things that I just said. He is the lowest thing since whale doo-doo, and that's on the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah, since plankton doo-doo. What they've done, though, their strategy to appeal to the human experience's worst places, namely fear and hate, it's been a textbook action. I mean, it's like let's get everybody riled up about gay marriage. Let's get everybody riled up about
why?
All right.
Stop it right there. Okay, quit it. Okay, quit it because I've been happily. Well, I wouldn't say happily because sometimes Glenda and I we have our disagreements. But I've been married to this heterosexual woman for like 37, 38, going on 39, maybe 40 years. I stopped counting the years, okay, of how long I, as a liberal, have been married to the same woman.
Yeah.
And I have never had a dalliance in a Minneapolis lavatory or whatever you want to call it, bathroom with some guy by waving my hand underneath the stall. I've never done that, and I don't know why, because, I'm a liberal. And liberals are supposed to be open to everything. Like you just said, Bruce, we do not discount people of other sects, religions, or other
sexuality.
Sexual identity. We don't kick them out of the room. We just look at them and say, well, hello, brother. Welcome to the conversation. We're not going to judge you. Don't judge me because I've been married to the same woman for all these years, and I don't judge you because you've been living with the same guy for just as many years as I've been living with the same woman. See, that's the difference between liberals and conservatives. We don't lie about our sexuality. We just are, and we accept others as they are. We don't try to change them and make them over into our image. We don't. We just accept them, Bruce. We always have. It's like I accepted you and JF, you know, John Fox from down below, down under. I thought you guys were the greatest thing. I enjoyed our little conversations. I really did, and I missed that banter.
Well, you're going to get some of it here in about 15 minutes, Bob, because he's going to be coming on the air with me after the top of the hour.
Too bad it isn't one of them. What do you call it? The Front Porch Fridays. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Then I could get on there with him, and the three of us could talk again. But that would be wonderful. I'd love to hear John. I just enjoy him so much, and he's such a lively. He's jovial. He's so sweet.
Yeah.
He's got a sweet soul. He chuckles. He laughs. He enjoys people, and I love him for that. He has something that I don't have, and that's the ability to look at these. Guys that are a little bit, strange like me and say, hey, welcome to the parade, you know, because when I get into a room full of people and they're all talking this same nonsense, I got this this problem, Bruce. I just look them in the eye and I say BS. And I don't say just BS. I say the whole word. You know, I use the words. I look them in the face and I say, don't give me that BS, because
right.
I'll put a 12.5 so far up your patoot, you'll be tasting shoe leather for the next week. Don't
Ooh.
Lie to me. Don't give me that conservative CRAP. I didn't even say it, because I love this network so much that I wouldn't want you guys to be fined by the neo-Nazi, neo-con, neo-fascist George W. Bush administration. I could not even think that such a thing could happen. But I can say this, that when the barricades go up, Mike Malloy, I'll be standing right with you, or behind another barricade with those that are like us, because I'm sick to death of trying to talk to these people because they don't listen. So they don't want to listen. Time for shoe leather. And if they don't like a boot stuck so far up their patoot that they taste shoe leather for a week, well, by golly, then it'll go to that other box. We'll get off the stump box. We'll get off the soap box. We'll get off the other box.
It's probably going to come to that, Bob.
Well, I hope it doesn't. I really do. If I was a praying man, which I'm not, I pray that this nation will never fall apart and go into that horrible place that we have taken the Iraqi nation. The Iraqis are in a civil war. They weren't in a civil war before we got there, but they are now, and it's time that we let them sort out their problems, because we are their biggest problem right now. It's time that we get the hell out of their country and come home, and then maybe we can straighten out our own, because what was that Abe Lincoln said? You know, a house divided against itself cannot stand, and we are divided against ourselves. You know what, Bruce? We really are.
We're divided.
Well, I'm preaching. I'm sorry. Here I am. I'm on the I'm on that doggone up there on that podium. I'm up there standing there at the altar screaming out at the people. I'm saying, no, don't listen to me. Listen to your own heart. And if you'd listen to it, you'd see what I'm seeing. And it's time that we just quit. Get out of Iraq. Come home. Bring our kids home. Bring our self-respect, whatever little bit we have left, home, and clean our own house, and start with the Republicans in 08, get rid of them, and then let's start whittling down them Democrats, those wannabe, or those, what do you call them, Republican lights.
Yeah, the Democrats in name only, yeah.
Yeah, Democrats.
Yeah, Joe Lieberman.
Like Byron Dorgan and Kent Conrad and this little punk Pomeroy. Kick them out of office and put some real Democrats in there, because I'm sick of this punk Democratic delegation from North Dakota. I'm sick to death of them, okay? And I'm talking to you, Kent Conrad, Byron Dorgan, and you too, Earl Pomeroy. Get off the stump and start acting like a Democrat instead of on the Republican light. Excuse me, but I had to preach there a little bit.
Very well said, Bob. You know what? I really appreciate you calling in, and we're going to be I'm going to be on here again tomorrow night. So feel free to come back on. And...
Hey! I don't want to wear out my welcome, because you know my dear Agnes is Anyway, no, I would say I enjoyed talking with you, and I would love to listen to JF. Tell him I've got old Bob up in North Dakota. I love him. Like a brother, not like a sister. I mean, or a cousin, I don't want to meet him in some Minneapolis, laboratory.
I'd love
to meet him across a table with a. Whatever, a hot cup of coffee or a cold beer.
Fussers.
You and him and me and Bob and the boys get together and, just keep me and Malloy from bumping heads, because we're too much alike, and we'd probably just start to cussing and disgusting, and next thing you know, we'd be slapping leather. Who knows, huh?
You never know, Bob. You never know.
I've never hurt that man, nor his sweet Molly, or his sweet Kathy bite, anything like that. But I said, Malloy and I, we would probably rub each other a little raw, but I think we'd walk out of there, like brothers, arm in arm and strong and solidarity. So you go ahead and get on with the show.
Thank you, Bob. It's great hearing from you, my friend. I hope you have a wonderful evening.
Well, it was wonderful talking to you. I mean, I did most of the talking, and you're the host. You're supposed to, kind of steer me, aren't you?
No. Conversation radio ain't about steering somebody. It's about...
I know that, Bruce. I was just teasing. I thought, you're talking on the radio, and the radio host is supposed to tell you what to think and what to say, kind of like that Rush Ball show.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why I threw that in.
Those guys. Hey, well, we do it differently here, don't we?
You do it great. You do it the correct way. I mean, because I cannot say that other word, but you do it correctly, and I love you for it.
All right.
Hey, love to all my friends out there, hey, Godspeed, and, good night. Love you all. Okay?
Love you too, Bob. Have a great night out there in North Dakota, and give our best to Glenda.
Oh, yeah, they're great. Family's good. Everything's good. We're getting ready to do some hunting this fall, so... We'll see you then.
Okay.
Take care, my friend.
Man. Take care. And that was our good friend Bob from North Dakota calling in. We're going to take another quick call before the top of the hour. Gal from Cal, I believe, is joining us. Gal, are you there?
Yeah, it's Michelle.
Michelle, okay.
Cypress, California,
All right. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. I live close to Los Alamitos. National Guard base, and I was just telling the people in chat that the copters are flying over, and it was probably 200-300 feet over the roof of my house, and I was waiting online listening to you and Bob chatting away, and I'm like, they're too close to my house. So I had to, you know, then take my bird that I fly off my hand and show it to the copter as it flew over.
Oh, yeah? Good for you.
Yeah, well, I do that all the time, and my neighbors think I'm crazy. But I don't care. I really don't care. I think it's ridiculous that, you know, we've got this kind of air traffic going over residential areas. And anyway, but enough said on that. I call that about religion. I like prayer Wednesday, prayer talk Wednesday.
Okay.
You know, I've got issues.
Well,
you may not know that, Bruce, but I do have issues.
Okay.
So you're good that you got me at the top of the, or just before the top of the hour.
Well, you know, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. I was just going to say, living in California, you would think that, you know, you'd have a little space between the radical Christian right, you know, but I live just behind the Orange Curtain, is what we call it in Orange County, and they proliferate like rabbits. Well, maybe like rats. Maybe that's more appropriate of an analogy. I'm kind of harsh towards it because towards that sect of our society, that demographic. I feel like, you know, I was raised a Christian. I was raised a Protestant Christian.
Okay.
And I remember when I was like, I'd say 5 years old, and my trike got ran over by my uncle because I left it in the driveway. And all I could remember is thinking, you know, well, I must be a bad person because this happened to me. My mother teaching me, you know, well, that white little bump on your tongue is a lie bump. God knows you're lying, you know. These kind of things that they put in your head that, you know, what happens to you is because you deserve it. These negative things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So coming from a really deep perspective later on in life, when my mom remarried, I had an abusive stepfather.
Mm.
And he was very abusive. I mean,
uh-oh.
He was a Vietnam vet, and so there was physical and sexual and mental abuse. It was quite a contorted arena.
Wow.
Emotional element.
Was he also deeply or reported to be religious as well?
Yeah, well, I think he was, but you know, he did attend the church with us. You know, I don't know if he was so. Well, he was because he was Catholic. That's the weird thing. He was from New Hampshire, and
well, that explains all of it, doesn't it?
Huh?
No. I said that explains all of it now.
I like those people in New Hampshire.
I'm just messing
around. They need to wake up, though. yeah, you know, it was strange. You know, these things, these dysfunctional, terrible things that happened in my life and happened in other people's life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not the only one that had to deal with things like this.
Sure.
But to come from a Protestant Christian perspective, you know, obviously I took it upon myself that it was my fault, you know, and tortured myself until I was about 25 mentally, until I said, well, that's enough. You know, the world doesn't need slime like me, and attempted suicide.
Wow.
It was attempt, obviously. You guys have to deal with me now.
Well, I'm glad you're still with us. As
I'm
a matter of fact,
it's miraculous that I didn't rise after 3 days.
Michelle, I'm going to ask you, would you be willing to hold on over the top of the break?
Oh, sure.
Okay, because I do need to get to the news here real quickly.
I'm sorry, I didn't even. Yeah, go ahead and take.
But I do want to continue the conversation because it's great to get a perspective from someone who has lived through this kind of situation that you're talking about, and not only that, but there is a pretty direct dichotomy in the practice of daily living versus what people are told in the churches, and it's kind of interesting. And I want to expand on this with you a little bit. So if you'll hold on, I will. We'll come right back to you. Okay.
Sure, Bruce.
Great, great. All right. We are at the top of the hour. This is Bruce Birch. I'm covering for Bob Kincaid. Head on with Bob Kincaid. It's right now 1 minute until 7 o'clock on the East Coast. We're going to take a news break, and when we come back, we'll be back with Michelle. And John Fox will be joining us also after the top of the hour. This is the Head On Radio Network.
Look around. Show me holy places not yet found. Let's disappear and we'll hide underground. And we'll get high and we'll feel safe and sound. It comes around. Right.
This is a quality news network. Iraq's prime minister disputes American security contractor Blackwater's version of a recent shooting that left 11 Iraqis dead. Although the incident is under investigation, Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki wants the U.S. to replace the private company. For the second day, all land travel by U.S. civilian officials outside of the secure green zone in Baghdad has been suspended. The U.S. company Blackwater is largely responsible for providing security to all American civilian government employees in Iraq. Democratic Senator Jim Webb and Republican Senator Chuck Hagel are both backing a legislative proposal that would require U.S. troops to spend as much time at home as they did overseas before they can be deployed to the war front again. The proposal is seen as a way to force President Bush to change his Iraq strategy. President Bush wants a temporary spy law to be expanded and made permanent. It's part of the Protect America Act, which allows eavesdropping on suspected terrorists without a court order. Opponents say the measure gives too much power to the president. The Senate did not provide enough votes to pass legislation that would have given military detainees expanded rights, including the right to protest their detention in federal court. Only 4 more votes were needed to cut off the debate. The latest Reuters Zogby political poll finds Congress and President Bush have record low approval ratings. 11% of those who responded gave Congress a positive approval rating, while 29% approved of the job President Bush is doing. A bomb blast in a Christian suburb east of Beirut this morning killed an anti-Syrian lawmaker and 6 others. This was the 8th well-known anti-Syrian leader to be killed in the past 2 years. According to a report from Iran's semi-official state news agency, the country has plans to bomb Israel if it attacks. A top commander in Iran's air force says airstrikes will target Israel if the Israeli government, quote, makes a silly mistake. In Afghanistan, the U.S.-led coalition accuses the Taliban of using children as human shields in a recent battle. Also, NATO is investigating whether a recent shipment of weapons may have come from Iran. Forecasters say Tropical Storm Evo will likely become a hurricane within a day or two. It's off the South Pacific coast of Baja California.
Living our lives in a civil fashion is a declaration of intent. It says we are ready to put our better selves forward for the well-being of the community. It's like romance. When you fall in love, you are on your best behavior. The delight in making a loving connection with someone brings out the best in us, naturally. It is natural to acknowledge our fellow human beings with a nod of the head or a smile, to show them the respect we would want them to show us. The more we are civil with strangers and with those who already know us, the healthier a spirit we create for ourselves, for each other, and the surrounding community. George Washington, the founder of a great nation, declared, "Every action done in company ought to be with some sign of respect to those that are present." Civility is essential to community health. For more information, click on the Civility button on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
The CDC is encouraging more Americans to get flu shots. The government says that only a fraction of those who should get the shots are getting them. Every year, about 36,000 Americans die from the flu. The FDA has approved a nasal spray flu vaccine for children between the ages of 2 and 5. Previously, flu mist spray was okayed for children over age 5 and for adults through age 49. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson is urging Congress to raise the U.S. credit limit or debt ceiling so that the country can continue to borrow money. The current debt limit stands at just under $9 trillion. The Commerce Department reports that construction of new homes dropped to a 12-year low. In August, it fell by 2.6%. The Labor Department reports that consumer prices fell by 0.1% in August. That's the first decline in 10 months. Gold is currently trading at $729.50 an ounce. That's up $5.80. Oil set a new record high, trading above the $82 a barrel mark. Right now, it's $81.93 a barrel. At the close of Wall Street, stocks rallied for a second day after the Fed decision to lower key interest rates. The Dow was up 76 points to close at 13,815. The NASDAQ was up 15, the S&P up 9. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Krissen.
Now, get ready for your second hour of Head On with Bob Kincaid with guest hosts Bruce Birch and John Fox.
Right. Welcome back aboard. The train is leaving the station. This is Bruce Birch. I'm covering, I suppose, John Fox. John, are you there?
I am, mate. How are you?
I'm doing great. John, I had a caller. By the way, brother, you know, you're a pretty amazing guy, and I just want to let you know on behalf of myself and Gunny Bob, and Bob from North Dakota, that we just think you're the best. You're just the best. You're the cat's pajamas, John. You must have missed it, John. I do have a caller that I held over the break that I wanted to get back to. Michelle from California. Michelle, are you with us?
Yeah, still here.
Okay. I'm sorry. I thought about it after we cut to the break, and I was like, you know, you shared something on the air that was very deep and personal to you, and I wanted to let you know just how amazing it is that you're able to talk about that. Not only that, but just, you know, that you're sharing that with us. I mean, that's pretty amazing, and I just want to say you must have done a lot of healing, over the years to be able to do that.
Very much so, Bruce. Very much so. I mean, I don't mean to act light about it or speak light about it, but I mean, I'm 44 years old, and after, you know, the 25 and figuring out, well, I'm not too good at the suicide attempt, so I might want to try to live. But I mean, you have to have humor. You have to have a little levity in life. But the thing that I found in working through these things was that when I talk to other people that hadn't talked, when I offer these things up, it's kind of like, you know, you're sitting at the bar and somebody, you're chatting with some people and somebody says to you, you know, I feel like I've known you for years.
Yeah.
Well, the reason why they do is because usually that person is open and shares things about themselves, human elements that other people try to hide. And it takes you years to find that out about your friends and even your family. And you get closer when you share those things. Bruce, you don't know me as well, but everyone pretty much in the chat room and on the network knows me. And I just really, truly feel a great kinship. And as well as, you know, with any kind of situation, when you're dealing with, and back to kind of what we were talking about, when you're dealing with these trials in life and these dysfunctions that, you know, do come about, my belief that a lot of it's perpetuated by guilt-driven religion.
Sure.
It's...
Well, you know, You know, and something else I wanted to mention, this sort of seems like the perfect place to do this, is that, you know, and since it is prayer meeting Wednesday here on the Head On Radio Network for Bob's show, you know, one of the things that I read a book recently called The Spirituality of Imperfection, and I don't know if you're aware of this book or if you've ever heard of it, but what it does is it details the understanding, if you will, that in our imperfection is where we find our spirit. You know, that we are imperfect beings. We always will be imperfect. We're not going to have. I mean, we're deeply flawed. Some of us have been severely wounded by others over the years, and you know, myself, I've struggled with addiction issues. You know, that I mean, that's pretty well known knowledge across the network. You know, so but in the middle of all that, because of those flaws, I've sort of been forced to seek some spiritual meaning in life. That's just for me. You know, and as a result, have become a better person. And it sounds, I could be very wrong, but it sounds like you've also sort of gone through some of that.
Well, yeah, I call it my silver lining in that nasty dark cloud, you know, the icing to that bitter cake. I mean, I always say, you know, we're given a tool belt in life by our parents. And in that tool belt, they give us little tools to deal with situations.
Sure.
And guess what? Those little tools, they kind of work when you're a kid, but they're still, you know, not necessarily always adequate. Some are, some aren't. Later on in life, you pick
up... Sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead, John.
Well,
I want to hear your opinion.
As I'm listening to this, the other thing is, you know, you're kind of talking about... opening yourself up and talking about what sometimes are considered taboo so-called subjects. And I think that we do a great service to one another when we do let our guard down and talk about some of the most difficult things, the struggles that we've gone through in life, because the people closest to us, one, will get an understanding of where you've been, where you've come from, and every bit of information that you take in through life becomes part of, you know, that tool belt that you talk about. I mean, you're given a tool belt when you're a kid, but you kind of need to rearm that tool belt as you get older.
Yep.
And, you know, everyone's been through, you know, hell in one way or another. And, you know, when someone says something like, you know, failed suicide attempt, that's kind of a little bit twisted. It's more like you were successful in holding yourself together, you know, and that should be applauded, you know. And when you also speak about these things, it can arm someone to see the signs of another loved one who might be going through the same thing, and you might be able to intervene and show them some love and some compassion to make them hold back a little bit and maybe just be able to get themselves back on the track again.
Well, that was kind of my point before, you know, in giving this information in the way that I do, I do it not only to share in reference to how I saw life via this Protestant upbringing, because that's the subject, but also in other situations, not necessarily now. But I've done it because I know, as an individual suffering that type of environment and putting on a false face for so long, when I heard someone else speak of this same type of dysfunction, it made me feel, oh, I'm not this car baby, you know, that I thought I was, you know. And so you're right, it helps others to understand their own family that may be suffering. It helps your family to understand sometimes, unless your family's in denial because they're part of the problem.
Which is the case often.
But that's the whole thing about coming back to religion, you guys. I mean, how is it that, I mean, I've read the Bible a couple of times. That's all I could deal with. I mean, especially the Old Testament. My God, has some major issues himself. I mean, first of all, he needs to get laid. Anyway, but, you know, it is unbelievable when you look at the teachings of this person they call Jesus Christ and what he did and how he looked at others. And for others, for people preaching in the name of whatever, the Christian religion, and saying that they are taking us down the road that God wants us to, but are going totally opposite of what this man they call the Son of God. I mean, you know, killing, accepting killing, saying that that people, because of their sexual orientation, are, you know, saying that because a young girl was raped, or because she made the wrong choices because she wasn't educated, that she's going to go to hell or she can't have a choice of her life. I mean, I don't understand. I really don't understand how they can call themselves compassionate and believers in this.
It's a cover story. It's a cover story. That's all I look at it as.
Good analogy.
You know, it's just an excuse to be able to be hateful. And this is one of the things where I personally have problems with all established religions, because they fuel these bigotries.
Well, you know,
Bruce, you were talking at the first hour about how, you know, this administration, the GOP, and how they're trying to woo in or pick up all the Christian votes they can. The fact is that those Christians are being bamboozled. I mean, this administration knows that they're nowhere. I mean, Bush Jr., you know, he's got Jerry Falwell written all over him, you know. I mean, he could be on the talk show on TV saying, "Send me your money, God said so." You know, I just, how is it that people that are so cynical towards someone like me, or someone like you, John, or you, Bruce, how is it that they're not cynical towards, it's deafening, it's so non-comprehendible.
Well, that's a good question, and the answer, I think, lies in the idea that, you know, Christians are often in the mega, you know, there's this new sort of anomaly cropping up all over America called these mega churches, and I know that they also have them down in Australia. John's talked about that before. You know, these huge churches where people go, and they're even told, you know, they're told how to vote. The preacher will get up in front of the congregation and talk about certain current social issues and how, as a Christian, they should act about those certain things. And so it's almost a foregone conclusion when they hit the ballot box, you know, how they will vote. And I also remember very clearly covering a story, John, if you remember this, where the GOP, the Republican Party, was actually printing up and issuing voter guides to be distributed at churches.
Oh, I do remember that, and as far as I know, that is a huge violation of statute on separation of church and state. Not supposed to be able to do that. And
well,
in my
actually,
mind,
is it? I don't know that I agree with that. I think it's probably the other way around. That the opposite would be against the law, but in this kind of situation, I mean, all they were doing was distributing a voter guide. The Democratic Party does it in black churches.
Well, you know, then I don't care which side is doing it. I think if you get into actually distributing them, you should lose your tax-free status. Full stop.
Yeah, I was going to say that's against their tax bracket. What is that? 501c3? Yeah. Yeah.
Because I do remember back in the 80s when I was still, you know, kind of having to be, you know, dragged off to church every Sunday, where I think it was the second Reagan election was coming up, and there were discussions about this, and the minister at this church actually said, look, I can't espouse an opinion on this. It breaks the rules. I remember that being flatly put out to me, and it's not religion's place to guide people on a specific candidate. You can, through your ministry or whatever, try and influence people's opinions and things about issues, and then let them decide the candidate that represents them. That isn't nearly as much of a breach as far as I'm concerned. But I do think that the moment, you know, if the parties put this stuff out, the churches need to feel the consequences if they actually, you know, engage in it.
Well, as is everything with the Republican Party during an election year, of course, they were four or five steps removed from the actual distributor of these voter guides. But you know, if you'll remember, John, the money, you know, when in doubt, follow the money. They followed the money right back to Karl Rove.
Yeah.
So, you know, but of course, that was never prosecuted.
I wanted to tell you guys. I know John's calling long distance, and I want to let you guys chat, and if any other callers, but I just, you know, I appreciate, Bruce, you picking up the phone, knowing it was me on the other line. No. And John, you take care, and just keep talking, because I'm
thanks,
still
darling.
Okay,
Michelle,
bye,
it's great talking with you, and you carry forth your positive message. I mean,
okay. Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
Mm-hmm. Well, John, that was an interesting call. I got to tell you, you know, I wanted to share this a little bit just because it just came across my head, and because you know, you and I have very similar spiritual beliefs, and you know, what really gets to me is that in the middle of all of this religiosity, people lose sight of what really can bring them peace.
Absolutely.
You know, they go to church. They'll do the standing up and the sitting down and the singing and the kneeling and the, you know, altar sitting and kneeling and eating of the body of whatever and whoever, and in the middle of all that, you know, they lose sight of the true understanding. I believe the true understanding of what spirituality itself is all about, and that is not about dogma. It's not about ritual. Well, for some it is. And let me rephrase that. For some, it is about dogmas. For some, it is about ritual. But best of my understanding is that if you can't be spiritual when you're driving in the car down the road and someone cuts you off, if you can't be spiritual standing in the grocery store when the cashier, you know, has to redo a complete grocery order, you know, if you can't be spiritual when looking at people of a different race or of a different sexual identity, then there's no point in even trying, in my view.
Yeah, I agree, and you know, I hope this isn't delving too much into touchy territory for you, but you know, listening to Michelle and this idea of, you know, kind of being labeled and banished when you're dealing with issues that might not fit with your religious views. If I were that type of person, when you were going through difficult times, I would have had to turn my back on one of my best friends. And yeah. I don't see how that is looking after your fellow man in any way, shape, or form.
It's not.
You know, I mean, it would break my heart if someone dictated to me saying, that person made a mistake, you can no longer have anything to do with them, and you must ostracize them or label them, and I think that's just completely, you know, inhumane in my mind.
Yeah. Well, it's not just inhumane. It's, you know, how many people, you know, we've talked about wars before and how many wars have been fought in the name of God. I wonder how many people have gone through a situation like that in their church or in their as Michelle almost did, and said, you know what, I'm no good, You know, I'm a freak of nature. No one can fix me. God doesn't love me. I may as well just end it all. And went and did that and was successful. I wonder, you know, I mean, it's a very sad state of affairs when a religious community that purports to be inclusive, according to what the Bible teaches, refuses entry to people based on, you know, any criteria at all.
I agree. Hey, man, we have a caller on the line, I'm told.
Okay.
We have our good mate Jim on the line. How you going, Jim? Long time no speak.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing really well.
Doing great. I'll get better, Jim. How are you?
How are you? Long time no talk here? To.
Yeah. Well, it has been a while, Jim. And you know, I was thinking yesterday when you came online and you couldn't hear me, and I couldn't, but I could hear you. I was really disappointed that we weren't you know, able to have a conversation. So I'm glad you called back.
Well, yeah, these technical difficulties can be surmounted one way or the other. You know, I don't know if I can really segue into what you guys were just talking about, other than, unfortunately, there seems to be some type of caste system in which people throw the untouchables and the unmentionables and those people who are so marginalized in society that they just are on the outer perimeters and can't be reached. I don't know why that is.
Well, you know, I don't know either, Jim, but I do know that it happens, and I think that it has to do... You know what? I'll tell you what. I think that it has to do with people's fear. I think it has to do with people's fear of you know, perhaps something that they just don't understand, and as a result, they react with fear, and they shun, and they, you know... close people off because they don't exactly look like them or talk like them or, you know, have the same sexual interest as them or whatever, that it tends to be a very condemning kind of thing. And I believe it operates from a place of fear.
I think you're right. I think you're pretty much on the mark there. Fear drives a lot of, unfortunately, a lot of very ugly locomotives in our lives.
Yes, it does.
Well put.
And so, you know, there's just one thing I wanted to say, and this is political in nature, and it's sort of an aside. And I just wanted to mention this yesterday, and it's the reason I called yesterday. And I'm just sort of really disappointed with the Democratic Party and their spinelessness. And, you know, honestly and truly, it's like Gore Vidal once wrote. He said, there's only one party in this country, and that's the property party. One of them is Democrat, one of them is Republican.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of truth in that, I think. You know, all these people
want
to do, referring to our elected people every 2, 4, and 6 years, is have some type of ceremony in which there is given the appearance of participation and participatory results, when it's not really true.
Well, you just made me think of something. I don't know if you guys caught Chuck Hagel on Bill Maher's program last week. It was a really revealing interview. When they asked him about why he was retiring, one of his responses was, "I'm looking for honest work." And he was talking, and the subject turned to the fact that the Republican Party is imploding on itself. And he made a really good comment that actually both parties need to find themselves again. And I think that this plays into exactly what you're saying, Jim. We have two parties that on the surface might have differences, but when you get deep down, there are certain core things like the ownership society and things like that, that they are just almost in lockstep with. And, you know, we've lost the dynamic of the debate in this country. You know, Bruce and I used to talk about this on Fourth Estate all the time. We're not having the conversations we need to have.
And, you know, I feel like that there's basically one street that's really running this country, and it's not Capitol Hill, and it starts on K Street in Washington and ends on Wall Street in New York City.
Yeah.
And I think that has a lot to do with it, too.
Yeah, well, I totally agree with you, Jim. I, you know, the other part of that, too, is to when you were talking about, you know, I'll say it out loud, you know, one rich guy replaces another rich white guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's been the case, you know, since the inception of our country. We've had a few anomalies here and there where someone who was not anointed by the establishment happened to slip through, you know.
Right.
But for the most part, it, you know, even John Kennedy, I mean, was very much an establishment candidate.
Okay. He was definitely a patrician in every sense of the word.
You know.
And
so,
you know,
in my view, the real meat of the matter. You know, I was thinking about this the other day, and I think I may even have talked about it yesterday on the air. Is that, you know, where, at what point do we ever get back to the party of Roosevelt?
I don't know. I think that for the past, well, since 1980, I think it's been a decided effort beginning under Ronald Reagan particularly, to undo everything that the New Deal and Roosevelt stood for. You know, mm-hmm. They tried to undermine everything, basically.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's been the thrust of what their, you know, their activities have been. It's all been counter to what FDR had proposed for this country and tried to leave as a legacy. And unfortunately, it's just they have succeeded. And, you know, in 2008, I hate to say this, but if the Democrats don't wake up, they're going to be there. They're going to snatch defeat right out of the jaws of victory.
Yeah, I agree. And I got to tell you, though, you know, my looking at the entire field of candidates, the only one in my view that resembles the party of Roosevelt is John Edwards.
Yeah, and I'm not sure how well he's going to do, to tell you the truth.
I don't know either, but, you know, he's probably closer to, I would, you know, just based on knowing him and having known him for years, because he was a senator here in North Carolina.
Right.
That he is probably closer to the heart of what the Democratic Party is supposed to be about than any other candidate that I see out there, because Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, the two front runners. I'm sorry, I just can't get excited about either one of them. I wish I could, because I think
I wish I could too.
You know, I think it's time for us to have either a black president or a female president, but it's hard for me to get behind either one of them. You know.
Well, yeah. As far as that whole exercise in futility, and that's basically what I think it is. You know, the thrill is definitely gone, and I don't know. I never thought I'd say that, but I guess I'm just sort of down on the whole thing, you know. All these people are interested in is furthering their own careers and enriching themselves at the public trough and, you know, spending a lot of money to get reelected. And, you know, as far as the people they represent is concerned, they really don't care a whole lot except when it comes time for trying to get your vote, you know.
Yeah. And then they show up in glad hand, and but that's okay.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, I think that our democracy is a self-correcting form of government, and we saw that some in the last election cycle. We may see more of it this coming time around, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But we are kind of at the bottom of this hour, Jim.
Well, listen,
you want to
care, and it's good to talk to both of you, and it's nice to hear your voice on the air, and I wish you both well. Okay.
Thank you much, Jim, and you know, I'll be on tomorrow night and Monday, so give another ring.
Will do. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Hey, John?
Yeah?
Love you, man.
Love you too, man.
All right. Let's go ahead and take our break, man, and when we get back, John and I are going to cut loose on some old Fourth Estate action, I think. What do you think, John?
Oh, yeah, and man, I have a little something for prayer meeting just standing by waiting for you.
Ooh. All right, folks. Well, we'll be right back. This is Bruce Birch, and that's John Fox over there. And we're going to be here for the next half hour or hour and a half, or I don't know. We might be here all night. I don't know. This is for oh, my gosh. I almost said this is Fourth Estate Radio, John. This is Head On with Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network. If you want to get in on the program, the telephone number is 1-877-443-2366. If you want to pick up the dime for the call, it's 304-658-5453. We'll be right back.
What's up? Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters, all you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Went to Disney World in Orlando 2 years ago. We didn't realize it, but I found out later they call it Gay Day. We saw several things that just were shocking. But the worst part of it was these people would kiss openly, you know, and embrace. But if we gave them a funny look, they would say rude things to us. Oh, yes, they were very hateful, very effeminate.
Church Lady Gone Wild. Meet Brother Russell this Wednesday on Strictly Confidential, 9 p.m. Eastern.
This day is night. How do I look? How do I feel? How do I look? How do I look? How do I feel? How do I look?
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
All right, welcome back to the radio program. It's 38 minutes past the hour. Joining me, by the way, this is Head On with Bob Kincaid. Bruce Burch covering for Bob here on the Head On Radio Network. If you want to get in on the program, you can do just that by dialing 1-877-443-2366. You can also pick up the dime for the phone call, if you so desire, at 1-304-658-5453. Joining me is my friend in the struggle, compatriot, John Fox. John, are you still there, buddy?
Oh, yeah, man. And in honor of the fact that it's a prayer meeting edition, I thought I found this little story yesterday, which I found really, really kind of fascinating. Now, this isn't directly a religious story, but this is about one of those things that the religious industry really, really hates, which is science. You know me. I have a real interest in quantum mechanics. Because I find the whole study absolutely fantastic. And So at a blog called
because we're all in this together. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I mean that exactly. Now at a blog called net127.com, and this is, I've run into this blog previously, and there's usually some fairly good stuff there. But they've got a piece from New Scientist, and it says quantum computer works best switched off. Now, just wait. You know, if this ends up in the mainstream, the religious industry is going to talk about probably satanic possessed machinery. But
or divine inspiration. I don't know.
Yeah. And they say here, even in the crazy world of quantum mechanics, this one is twisted. A quantum computer program has produced an answer without actually running. The idea behind the feat, first proposed in 1998, is to put a quantum computer into superposition, which means that it's in multiple places at one time. A state in which it is both running and not running. It is as if you asked Schrodinger's cat to hit run. With the right setup, the theory suggested the computer would sometimes get an answer out of the computer even though the program did not run. And now researchers from the University of Illinois have improved on the original design and built a non-running quantum computer that really works. They send a photon into a system
Wait, stop. A non-running quantum computer that really works.
Absolutely.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that I got that part straight because I was a little confused. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, and so, you know, for those of you that aren't familiar with the realm of quantum mechanics, quantum physics is all about possibilities. And there's been some interesting studies where they'll look at subatomic particles, and there's this little trick that they can do. When you're not watching them, they'll be in multiple places at once, and then when you observe them, they snap to a position. So this is kind of where this is coming from, and this is. Some people who study quantum mechanics actually get into the fact that this could be actually where spirituality comes from, regardless of its form or its dogma, that concept that we're all connected, you know, because, you know, if you have two particles that are connected way across the universe, you stimulate one, the other one reacts immediately. I mean, this has been performed over...
Yeah. This has been. Wasn't there a study done about? I was trying to remember. There was something. I was trying to remember this thing. Let me think for a minute. But there was a study done that was very similar to what you're talking about, where there was. It had to do with color, I think, wasn't it, John? That two particles, they actually absorbed the same color, even though they weren't connected, or it was a very. I'm trying to remember. Anyway, I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
No. That's okay, but see, this is one of those things. This is really out on the edge science, right? And this is the kind of stuff that will be, you know, kind of way out there until we develop a better understanding of this subatomic world. And it is some of the most exciting science that's being done. I mean, and 95% of it goes over my head, but it's the curiosity that I love, and I am really curious about these kind of things because there is an interconnectedness in this universe, and I don't think that it comes out of a dogmatic book. I think it actually comes from the fact that we all come from the same star stuff. We all come from the same base material, and at that level, we are all connected as one, and until we realize that, we're in trouble.
That just opened up a whole realm of stuff in my head, and I don't know if I'm going to even be able to elucidate it. But, at some point I got to change the subject because there's something I want to tell you about today that's very important, and maybe even might be related to quantum physics. But we'll get to there in a minute. When you were talking about, wasn't there was something that you, what was that thing that you were involved in, John? It was like the what was it, love something?
I'm trying to think of what the name of it was. But it, basically, the concept was people signing up to think about love when something horrible happens. Okay, and the idea is that there have been studies done, again, this interconnectedness concept. There were studies done in the UK that they started to notice that this particular seabird had figured out how to open up the milk bottles on people's porches. Okay? Now, there's a concept, and it's proving to be true, that once a certain percentage of the population knows something to be true, it becomes part of the general consciousness. Because the birds could not teach one to another this thing and have the entire population of these birds actually learn this trick. And all of a sudden, like a switch, the entire species all knew this trick of opening up the milk bottles. So on this idea, we have this unbelievable, kind of ugly state of consciousness in this world at the moment. And the idea is, every time something horrible happens, is to think love and peace and compassion. And if we can actually get past, and I think it's only about 40% of the population needs to accept something as being reality to where it suddenly just spills over and takes on the entire populace.
That brings to mind, John, we were talking about the tricks with the birds, there brings to mind the ancient wonders of the world, the fact that there were pyramids built in South America and in Egypt around the same time period, but the two cultures were completely independent of each other and had no communication with each other.
Exactly.
You know, or there was, what's the other one? There's another one, another thing that was, I can't think of it now.
I tell you what, while you think about that, we have another caller on the line, mate.
Okay, sure.
The one, the only, Gene, our head news ninja, is on the line. How you going, Gene?
All right.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Gene.
Hi. Good to hear you, Bruce.
Hiya, my friend.
Good, forgotten about that. No, I'm just going to mention, John, that as you're talking about the quantum stuff, I was thinking, God, that sounds like life. You know, kind of like you have this, you're alive for how many number of years and then you're off. Kind of, the quantum thing is, maybe life is a quantum state. But that's just...
It is!
So it just, that was what struck me there. No real, well, there's so much news, there's no news at all. I posted another tasing article up there on the thing, which I think I sent to you, John.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to get me started again, are you, Gene?
I
absolutely split my skull open screaming the other morning over the Kerry incident.
Well, this one actually took place in April of 2006, but it was a lady in a wheelchair. They zapped her 10 times, and she died. So it was kind of annoying, and I've come to think that there is no such thing as a non-lethal weapon. In fact, I'm half tempted to start calling them torture weapons, but that's just me.
It ain't just you, Gene. It ain't just you. I'm telling you right now. There are huge pushes internationally to ban these weapons, and even though compared to a gun, they may be considered non-lethal, what we're running into now is lazy, uneducated, spiteful, crappy little police who could not who are too lazy to control the situation anyway, find it too easy to resort to these devices. Which,
John, I want
find
you to tell us how you really feel.
I was reading the comment threads on the YouTube videos over the Kerry incident, you know, were just unbelievable from both directions. But there was a great comment, which was something that you know, if I had gotten there, I would have said. There was a guy there that said, look, I've been a professional bouncer for 20 years. We have controlled much more raucous situations with people who are drunk, drugged up, and we have never had to resort to violence. We have never used a taser, and we are able to control these situations fine. What is wrong with police these days when they're too lazy to resort to use the skills that they've supposedly been given to physically restrain someone and remove them from a place if that's what needs to be done without having to resort to inflicting intentional pain on someone?
Well, John, you say they're trained to do that, but what the problem is that, you know, excessive force with the police goes back, oh gosh, probably to the inception of police, I would think. I mean, you know, I've read, you know, here in Greensboro, where I'm from, the police are, you know, they're very loving and caring. And what they tend to do is, they shoot first, ask questions later. But the other thing that they do is when they restrain someone physically, they put them in a hold that could kill them immediately. And which is like, wait a minute, if you're trying to use non-lethal force to restrain someone and a guy ends up dead, maybe we need to revisit exactly what you're... I mean, you know, these guys ever watched a football game before? I mean, you know, these guys knock each other down all the time and, you know, hey, no, everybody gets up and slaps each other's back and trots off the field most of the time. You know, it blows my mind because, you know, even the physical, even if they put their weapons away and use their physical body to try to restrain someone, you know, these people end up dead all the time. It's almost like they're trained, you know, I don't know.
I wanted to interject one thing here about this whole thing. It strikes me is it's funny because when Clinton was in office, the conservatives say, well, he's a bad example to the general public and so on and so forth. And basically, under the Bush presidency, we have a situation where violence and causing pain is the first resort rather than the last. And I think at least under a more liberal administration or a more liberal bent in the society, there's at least a second there where a cop, even though police brutality has gone on for ages and may continue ad nauseum, I have no idea. I think if society is more caring, more gentle, then they have to at least take a minute to stop and try to figure out how to resolve the situation more, you know,
diplomatically.
More,
right? Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas these days it's like, we're just too lazy to figure this out. Well, we'd rather hurt you instead. So, with that, I see you're getting close to the top of the hour, so I'm going to scoot on out here. But it's good to hear you back, Bruce.
Thank you, Gene. And you know what, man? I want to applaud you for all the great work you have done and are continuing to do, and you've stuck with it, man, and you deserve huge kudos for that, my friend.
Believe me, I couldn't do it without Susan and Elo and all the other ones out there that put up stories as well, because I would be a fast track.
I hear you, buddy.
I'll see you later.
All right. It's great to hear from you.
Bruce.
That's our friend Gene, who is the Head On Radio Network News Ninja. That's it.
And speaking of ninjas, we have another one on the line. Hey, Susan, how are you?
Hi there.
Hey.
She used to be Ninja Night. I just wanted to mention
how you doing, Susan?
Thing. Oh, I'm hanging in there, Bruce. I don't think we ever got to talk, but I signed in with the whole thing before you had to go off and do your thing.
Uh-huh.
So I got to listen to quite a few of your shows, which was fun.
Well, I'm glad you did. We did have a lot of great fun. We did have a lot of great fun.
Oh yeah. Anyway, you two got started on the quantum thing, and that immediately made me think of one of my favorite authors in 1961.
Who's that?
Robert Heinlein wrote a book called
Stranger
in a Strange Land, whose basic premise was, thou art God.
Yeah.
Exactly. I am... And that's not a pompous thing. It is the fact that God is within all of us. And this concept of that God is some bearded guy up in the clouds with a laptop keeping tabs on your good and bad deeds only allows people to deflect their actions from their lives. And this is where I think this is where I think, you know, agnosticism and atheism ends up being, you know, a much better way to be, because you're living in the right here, right now. As I am face to face with someone, I'm not thinking about what might happen to me after I die. I have to make the right decision now, because this is the only chance I've got.
Yeah.
Well, the same holds true for the pagan religions. I'm Wiccan, and we don't believe in heaven or hell. This is it, honey.
Yeah, I tell you that the pagans I have a lot of respect for. I've mentioned before, you know, I dated what is sometimes labeled as a white witch for a while, and I learned so much in this connection to the Earth Mother concept.
Mm-hmm.
And always giving back, that I thought as a way of living is just so much more positive than worrying about the checklist to what may happen later. I am much more in the here and now.
Yeah, and that's the other reason I called Bruce, is because you mentioned, made a comment about Edwards being the only, the closest to a New Deal Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
What about Kuchini?
Yes, I did. Oh, you know what? You're absolutely right. I stand corrected. Dennis
Everybody
Kucinich,
seems to marginalize Dennis Kucinich.
I, you know what? And you know, I'm busted. I have no defense.
You're busted, Bruce. Don't do that again.
I'm busted. And no, but Dennis is a pretty amazing guy. I don't know how I missed him in my thinking, but I guess maybe because I'm a fan of John Edwards. I don't know. That was a person. You know, personal.
And also, Bruce, just with the way our mass media sets up the two pony race, he's not given the coverage. So this shows the effectiveness of our media system at being able to dictate the discussion. So right there, you know, I heard you talking about Edwards yesterday and this morning, and I had the same thought you did, Susan. I'm going, yeah, but what is Dennis? who is actually, when you poll people on policy, Dennis Kucinich is rating higher than the front runners on what he says. So I think the debates, when they start, are going to be crucial for people like Edwards and Kucinich.
Mm-hmm. Assuming Kucinich gets invited. He was not invited to that, quote, steak fry thing. He didn't have,
really?
Supposedly have the organization. Now, people like Dodd and Richardson were, and Biden, who are all polling less than than Kucinich, but, you know, we won't go there.
I hate Joe Biden.
Edwards put a poll up on his site saying, who would you vote for president right now? And Kucinich won by a landslide.
Really? Wow. That was a dig, John.
People want to know what's going on with Dennis Kucinich, go over to Centra.
I really think, you know, it's one of these things where, you know, again, we need. It comes down to the discussions that we need to have, and then having the right people and all sides involved in these discussions.
Yeah.
So I hope Dennis does not give up at all when it comes to, you know, making sure that he gets involved in these debates, because when he does get a chance to speak, he's really convincing, and he speaks to people. And the thing that I really respect about him, Bruce, and I actually think Kucinich and Edwards, because I'm an Edwards fan myself as well, but I reckon the two of them together, and the fact that Dennis Kucinich actually lived in his car at one point in his life, he has a better understanding of the hell that real people can go through in their lives on a day-to-day basis. And I think that that gives a great grounding for policy.
I absolutely agree. Absolutely.
That plus
agree.
The fact that he's the only candidate who still has a union card, a valid one.
Yay!
Right on. Well, you know what? You won me over, Susan. How do we get to Dennis Kucinich's website?
Okay, you can go to Dennis Kucinich. Let's see. Let me get the. Actually, the easiest way to do it, go to our Horn main page and go to the widget where it says Send Tab, because it has all of the candidates' web pages,
uh-huh.
Not just Dennis's, all of the Democratic stuff over there.
Excellent, excellent. So go to headonradionetwork.com, and you will find it right there on the front page of our website.
Right. There's a blue and white Send Tab widget where you can see some of the headlines of the stories. And if you just click on that, it'll take you over there, and you will find everything you want to know about what Dennis is doing, what all of the smaller, the quote, lower tier are doing that you don't hear about.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. Well, that's what we'll do. Susan, we're right at the top of the hour, my friend, and, you know, I'm glad you called
nice
in.
Nice talking to you.
And set me straight.
I'm glad to do so anytime.
I love it. All right. Have a wonderful evening, huh?
You too.
All right.
Good night.
Good night now. It's Susan, one of our news ninjas who very easily put me where I needed to be. A little bit more humble. And you know, that's a good thing for this guy. This is the Head On Radio Network. John, you going to stick on with me after the hour?
Man, you'd have to beat me with a stick to get me off.
All right. Well, all right. Well, so what we're going to do is we're going to do a news break, and then we'll come back. If you want to get on the show, 1-877-443-2366 or 1-304-658-5453. Join us, John and Bruce, covering for Bob here on the Head On Radio Network.
They always talk about the Golden Rule and Sermon on the Mount, but whether you've ever been born again doesn't even seem to count. I know my sins are all forgiven, and I am on my way to heaven. My trust is in the Lord and not the ecumenical movement. 'Tis modern now to talk about the ecumenical movement. The old time way's not good enough. It all must be forgotten. The virgin's birth of truth.
This is the Quality News Network. A proposal to regulate troop combat deployments fell 4 votes short of the 60 votes required to advance in the Senate. Democratic Senator Jim Webb and Republican Senator Chuck Hagel backed the proposal. It would have required U.S. troops spend as much time at home as they did overseas before they can be deployed to the warfront again. It is the second failure for this bill, which was seen as a way to force President Bush to change his Iraq strategy. Iraq's Prime Minister is disputing American security contractor Blackwater's version of a recent shooting that left 11 Iraqis dead. Although the incident is under investigation, Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki wants the U.S. to replace the private security force. For the second day, all land travel by U.S. civilian officials outside the secure green zone in Baghdad has been suspended. The U.S. company Blackwater is largely responsible for providing security to all American civilian government employees in Iraq. President Bush wants a temporary spy law to be expanded and made permanent. It's part of the Protect America Act, which allows eavesdropping on suspected terrorists without a court order. Opponents say the measure gives too much power to the president. The Senate did not provide enough votes to pass legislation that would have given military detainees expanded rights, including the right to protest their detention in federal court. Only 4 more votes were needed to cut off that debate. A bomb blast in Christian suburb east of Beirut this morning killed an anti-Syrian lawmaker and 6 others. This was the 8th well-known anti-Syrian leader to be killed in the past 2 years. According to a report from Iran's semi-official state news agency, the country has plans to bomb Israel if it attacks. A top commander in Iran's Air Force says airstrikes will target Israel if the Israeli government, quote, makes a silly mistake. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has been denied permission to visit the World Trade Center site when he's in New York next week to address the UN. The Port Authority, along with police and Secret Service, all participated in the decision. Ahmadinejad reportedly had asked permission to lay a wreath inside the fence surrounding Ground Zero. You're listening to the Quality News Network. We have science and business news coming up next.
I know your secret. Nobody told me, but I know. Every time your little girl wants you to read her a story and you tell her you're too busy, I know. When your boy needs help with homework and you tell him to ask his mother, I know. Your wife asks you whether the warranty is still good on the broken dishwasher and you tell her you're too tired to look for it, I know. You're very good at keeping the secret, but it does take a lot of effort to keep the charade going. It could be very scary and embarrassing if anyone found out. But I know your secret. You can't read. Neither can 93 million American adults. You're in big company. Instead of running scared, become a hero in your own family. Find a local literacy program at your library. It's free. The day you whisper in your wife's ear, "Honey, I can read," just watch how big her smile is.
This message on literacy has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your local library.
The CDC is encouraging more Americans to get flu shots. The government says that only a fraction of those who should get the shots are getting them. Every year, about 36,000 Americans die from the flu. The FDA has approved a nasal spray flu vaccine for children between the ages of 2 and 5. Previously, flu mist spray was only okayed for children over age 5. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson's urging Congress to raise the U.S. credit limit or debt ceiling so that the country can continue to borrow money. The current debt limit stands at just under $9 trillion. Former CBS Evening News anchor Dan Rather has filed a $70 million lawsuit against the network and its corporate parent. He accuses CBS of violating his contract by not giving him enough airtime on the 60 Minutes program after he stepped down from anchoring the evening news broadcast. Gold is trading at $729.50 an ounce. That's up $5.80. Oil set a new record high, trading above the $82 a barrel mark. Right now, it's trading at $81.93 a barrel. At the close of Wall Street today, stocks rallied for a second day after yesterday's Fed decision to lower the key interest rate by half a percentage point. The Dow was up 76 points to close at 13,815. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com.
Here's your final hour of Head On with Bob Kincaid with John Fox and Bruce Birch.
Welcome back to the radio program. It's 8 minutes past the hour. We ran over a little bit with our top of the hour guest and had to do the news. John, guess what today
is? Yes, mate. What is
guess
today?
What today is? Today is National Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Arr,
matey. Arr.
I tell you, matey, we've got to get these Bush administration fools out from the behind the desk. Arr.
I want to make George Bush walk the plank. Arr.
Let's make him walk the plank. Arr, walk the plank.
What a ride. Hey, man, I just got an email from my wonderful Mrs. Gale while she's listening into us at work.
Oh,
and
yeah?
She just wanted to clarify a couple things. Talking about that whole the birds thing and the quantum thing, she says the theory about the birds is called the 100th monkey theory, she believes. And the campaign that I was speaking of was called Open Heart. It actually wasn't as high as I mentioned. The number of people who need to participate in the Open Heart thing is not that big. It's the square root of 6.5 billion. And so this is the mathematical. It's not that big. It's a small percentage of the population. I don't have a calculator here, and I'm not that good at square roots. but She just figured she had to toss that in, and it's always good. She keeps tabs on me.
Hey, that's a good thing, matey. Somebody's got to keep tabs on you.
Oh, jeez. So,
Do we have a caller on? Do we have a caller waiting for us, or
not at the moment that I know of? But
okay,
all this taser stuff is a symptom of something much larger, I think. It scares me how, and I think this plays into this global consciousness thing. When you watch the videos of the University of Florida incident, you know, you have this man's peers laughing at him being attacked. And why do people, you know, are we so incapable of putting ourselves in other people's shoes that we're so disconnected from one another that we have no understanding? It amazed me the absolutely hateful comments, you know, people going, oh, he deserved it, the fool. He was just acting up, wanting his 15 minutes of fame. We should have cut that short by a gun. And it's like, you people are nuts.
It's too much reality TV, John. They watch the Bret Michaels show and the what's that other guy there, the Ozzy Osbourne. They watch these people I can't say it's too much reality TV, but there is. I believe this very firmly, John. I believe that we are in the midst of the coming of age of the video game generation. You know, where many, and I don't want to blame it on video games, but I think that there is a certain desensitization that happens. Let me say that again. Desensitization. Arr, desensitization. Arr. That happens as a result of, you know, sitting in front of whatever it is, Xbox or PlayStation 2 or whatever, where some of these games are incredibly violent. And that affects how a person, especially when they're young and they grow up doing this, how this must affect how they view the world. You know, you and I, we grew up in a different time. We had Atari and Pong.
Okay. Yeah, and we also had woods to go and play in, and parents that told us when we got home from school, go play with your friends. I don't want to see you for dinner, but don't be late.
Exactly. You know, I don't want to see you for dinner, but don't be late. And, you know, I think there's a different mindset. And you know, even the U.S. Army has capitalized on this quite a bit. I was shown recently, I wired a store in a mall recently, and the guy who is the general contractor there brought into the store one day on his laptop this game that an Army recruiter had given him, and it was an incredibly bloody game. And at the end of the thing, it's like, oh, you scored really well, you should contact your Army recruiter because we could use a guy like you. I mean, literally. And so
Sorry, but you know, not only the video game thing, but you know, the U.S. military actually gives samples of weapons to toy companies to make the plastic replicas. You know, and I think that this is a very subtle form of social engineering, getting people, as you said, desensitized to the violence, and it all being a scorekeeping thing. And in the era of modern warfare, where you actually are using computers, watching things on screen, the brain doesn't really see the difference between the two. It's all still so distanced, you know? If we still fought wars with bayonets face to face, it would be a whole lot different, because you know what I mean? It's not this distant, you know, it wasn't me, it was my gear kind of attitude.
Right. And you know, and so I don't want to, again, I don't want to blame, because I know there's some gamers out there probably listening to this and going, hey, man, hey. But, you know, so I don't want to blame the games for any of this. But what I want to say is that, you know, the constant barrage of a violent input, I think, to the brain absolutely affects how we view certain situations. And if you're playing a bloody game all the time, then perhaps, you know, later on you know, that may desensitize you to seeing a bloody act in front of you. I mean, and I can't help but think that has influenced certain things. So, you know, when you talk about these kids who are laughing, these people who are laughing at one of their peers who is getting tasered, you know, or tased, or how the hell, what is the verb with that?
You're being tortured by 50,000 volts of electricity. How about that?
Okay, so you're being electrocuted, basically. Okay, so this person is being electrocuted, and these kids are laughing at him. You know, it doesn't surprise me at all. We have become a very desensitized society to violence. And Gene mentioned it earlier, on the radio program, where he was talking about how we have sort of turned into a society of violent intent, that a lot more is permissible now than would have been permissible 20 years ago.
Absolutely, absolutely. Hey, man, we have another very, very important caller on the line, mate. And it seems like we're definitely reliving Fourth Estate moments.
Before we bring them,
welcome to the program.
Hey guys!
Oh my goodness!
Can you hear me?
Oh yeah.
I could barely hear you.
Wayne, hello. How you doing, buddy?
Okay, Bruce. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. And by the way, Wayne, just so you know, today is National Talk Like a Pirate Day, so you have to say R.
I heard your R's and stuff. I mean, I was just sitting there going, "My God, this is like deja vu all over again."
You ain't that's kidding, better, Wayne.
That's better than Vuja Day, which is the feeling that you've never been somewhere before. So,
is that
yeah, but
true?
Anyway.
I'm going to have to take your word on that, Bruce.
I experience it all the time. Anyway, how you been, man?
I've been real good, man. I've been real good.
What's going on in Wayne's world?
Yeah, busy, busy. Just came back from a conference and got to speak to the governor and about a project that I've been working on for 5 years that for some reason or another he doesn't support and has told a whole bunch of people that it will never happen. And I told him I did, you know, as far as I was concerned, he had the wrong damn information and that I wanted him to sit down and meet with these people and, see if we can't change his mind. And, you know, being the man that he is, he agreed to that. He's
excellent.
Yeah, he's... Well, Joe Manchin's been very good to building trades people. And, I mean, you're talking about a guy that, when he used to be in the legislature years ago, only had a... 20% voting record for labor, but he's come a long way, and he's been very good for us, and he has guaranteed us that we may not always agree and we may not always get what we're going, but we always have a seat at the table. And
that's fantastic. That's better than down here with Mike Easley in North Carolina, I'll tell you. Yeah, he's a Democrat, and some of these Democrats down here in the South, man, I don't know. It's like they could move up north and immediately become Republicans, and, I don't know. But anyway.
Well, I mean, we have a similar problem here that everybody claims to be a Democrat because that's how you get elected, but just because they have a D after their name doesn't necessarily mean they're a Democrat.
Yeah, right.
So. But Joe Manchin is, he's a good man. I like him, And it was funny years ago when he was going run for governor, he came to an AFL-CIO convention, and you can't. He's a very likable guy, And he's just a regular guy. He'll go get a beer and sit down with you and. It's like talking to, any regular guy.
Right.
And we're talking about his run, and I said, Joe, how the hell are you going to defend your record, you're running for governor? And he said, well, you know, the only thing I could tell you is my record's 10 years old. He says, I've learned a lot listening to you guys and coming to your different meetings and stuff like that, and I've changed. And the governor at that time was Bob Wise. And Joe's replied to me, he said, now let me ask you a question. I said, what's that? He said, you guys worked very hard to elect a governor that had a 100% voting record for you, and what the hell has he done for you? And I said, that's a very good point, Joe, because Governor
Wise
was a very big disappointment to us. So, you know, it's things are going well. Things are going well. We have, I mean, union work in West Virginia as far as building trades. There were more hours worked last year in any year, since any year that, you know, that I could remember, that I could remember. So we're taking in new members all the time, and, you know, the projects just keep coming. So
that's
things
amazing.
Are going very well, very
that's,
well.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Tell me, I was talking to Bob Kincaid the other day, and he was telling me about the Jefferson Jackson Day dinner that you guys have up there every year. That's going to be in about a month, is that right?
I believe it's, it seems to me like it's the 19th of October. I might be off a day or two. And Bill Clinton is keynote speaker.
Bill Clinton is a keynote speaker. How about that?
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be better than last year's Barack, I reckon.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will. And, you know, we are, well, if you remember, we broadcast there from there last year. And we are planning to do the same this year.
Excellent. Excellent.
And it's, well, you know, I mean, I talked to the Democratic leadership, and they told me they didn't see that where it would be any problem. Now, I haven't got a complete confirmation, but I'm sure it'll come any day, you know. And it's an exciting time. I mean, this is... Well, Bill Clinton is quite a draw, as you might imagine.
Yes.
And, well, I'm not happy with a lot of things that Bill Clinton did, but, well, he beats the hell out of what we got now. That's for damn sure.
Oh, my God. You know, it's like yeah,
I mean, you know, I'm upset with Clinton about NAFTA and, you know, well, the corporate Democrat. Status, but you know, what are you going to do? Like I say, there obviously there are worse things that could happen to this country, and we are experiencing that as we speak. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, I hope you know what. Well, you know, we've talked about this before. I mean, I'm stuck with the Democrats. I'm not. Can't change. I'm not real happy with them. I'm not real happy with Nancy Pelosi and the rest of the crew, and the impeachment's off the table. I mean, I think that should have been the first order of business when she took charge.
I agree.
But
absolutely.
You know, and you know, I mean, if you know, if the movement got to her, I guess, you know, I mean, everybody, well, there's not time. Well, hell, that impeachment trial wouldn't last 3 days, and he'd be found guilty and gone. As far as I'm concerned, as long as, you know, Mr. Cheney is standing in the room with him, and we get rid of both of them. Ooh, that would make Nancy Pelosi president, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah. I don't know how good that would be. It'd be better.
Well,
it'd be better.
I think it would be better, and then, and you know, sometimes I wonder what the influences are on her that make her pull back. And then if in the situation, if she were in the top job, if she would be more free to act, which doesn't excuse her for, you know, pulling back on the artillery when it comes to the idea of impeachment. But I mentioned on my show this morning, Wayne, there's a, I don't know if you ever go to the Guardian website. But they have a really, really great set of blogs there called Comment is Free, and they get some of the most amazing bits of dialogue. and there was a piece there on the whole gear up to go into Iran, and one of the commenters said, my father was a former ambassador for the UK to the United States, and his father had met Cheney on a number of occasions face to face, and some of these were years ago, and he was convinced back then that Cheney was certifiably insane, and it came across when you sat across the table from him.
I don't doubt that a bit. I don't
criminally
doubt,
insane, just, perhaps.
You just watch the guy and his mannerisms and the faces he makes, and you know he's one. My pardon me, opinion. He's a despicable human being. As are the the whole crew. The whole crew. I mean, what they've done to this country and our young kids over there dying for. Well, it's a corporate war, or it's for oil. I don't care what anybody says. And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. But, you know, my greatest hope is that the company or the country survives these idiots. And, you know, in 2009, we'll hopefully we could start to rebuild our reputation, our treasure, and, you know, everything else. And get the hell out of Iraq. We got to get out of there.
You know,
my biggest fear is Iran and what these people have planned. And, well, I just think that that would be a grave mistake to do anything there. I don't, you know, you guys were talking about Kucinich. You remember when John Kerry ran and he had signs, the real deal? Do you remember those? Did I lose you guys? Oh, wow.
There. Well, Wayne, you still there? Bruce?
I'm here. John, can you hear me?
Okay, I guess we unfortunately lost Wayne there. But okay. Anyway, but he's, you know, what he was saying there about, you know, Kerry being the real deal. I think what he was trying to say was that Kucinich really is the real deal when it comes to representing the populace.
Not only that, but the workers, man. You know, I mean, Wayne and I share something very deep, and that is a deep and lasting affection for people who are get up every day and do what has to be done. And, you know, because actually we are those people, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, and it's like, you know, when you have someone
who is a, who has been a working person, you know, and this is probably why I like John Edwards as much as well, is that, you know, he worked his way through college by working in a mill, by working in a textile mill, you know, The people that we have who are in charge of the country right now have never happened what normal everyday falling apart at the seams. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. It's 29 minutes past the hour here on the Head On Radio Network. If you want to get in on the program tonight, you can dial 1-877-443-2366. You can also dial 304-658-5453 to get in on the horn. This is Bruce.
I've seen you in the markets, I've seen you in the streets, and at your political conventions. Talking of your crusade, talking of your nation, and other things too terrible to mention. And you proclaim your Christianity, you proclaim your love of God, you talk of apple pie and mine. I've just got one question, and I want an answer. Tell me, who would Jesus bomb? Maybe Jesus would bomb the Syrians.
'cause they're not Jews like him. Maybe Jesus would buy.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
This is Billy Shears. Join us this Friday on Foxed Up at 10 a.m. Eastern. We'll take a look at John Lennon's Thanksgiving 1974 onstage appearance with Elton John, marking the end of John's lost weekend.
That's when Yoko and I got back together the night I performed with Elton at Madison Square Garden.
Be there this Friday on Foxed Up at 10 a.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Whatever gets you through the night.
This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Hi, kids. Peter Godbold here. Join me at 9 p.m. Eastern for GLBT Conversation Radio. But I warn you, it's just a tiny bit Southern.
Welcome back to Head On with Bob Kincaid. Bruce, are you there? We were having a little bit of a breakup coming from your end. You with me, mate?
I am with you, my friend.
See how we go here, though, mate, because I kind of missed about 60% of that little tirade you were on previously. We really have some serious ground to make up in this country when it comes to social issues, the way we treat one another, and that doesn't just mean our neighbors next door, but that means our neighbors in this global community. You know, we really need to have a serious look at ourselves. Now, people who listen to this network have, but there's a massive amount of the population that needs to seriously just wake up, look internally, and see what we can do ourselves to improve this planet without going and inflicting pain and destruction and violence on other people.
You know what, John? It sounds like you're talking about a solution. And I got to tell you, you know, if we aren't... Now, this is what I was saying yesterday. You know, a good part of my program, I was talking about the reality that if I am not part of the problem, then there is no solution, right? So,
yeah.
You know, what am I doing? This is the question. See, people a lot of times will look at, say, they'll look at George Bush, they'll look at Dick Cheney, Dick Cheney, and they'll say to themselves, you know, those people are so screwed up, and those people are they're causing all these endless wars, and they're draining the treasury, and they're doing all these things to harm Americans, and they're doing all these things to harm people around the world, and yet what then can we do? And that's the real question, and this is what I'd like to pose to you, John. And, you know, let me get your perspective on this, and that is that, you know, if we aren't working toward an active solution as individuals, how can we do it collectively?
Well, I think you've hit it right on the head, and I was just thinking, you know, Gandhi, be the change you want to see in this world.
Perfect.
And I have taken this on as much as I can, you know, with the green issues stuff. You know, while you have been gone
on walkabout, John, on walkabout.
our studio here in Australia is now run on 100% renewable energy.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, we signed up for it. It's available by the electricity providers. You pay a bit of a surcharge of $1 a day, and that invests in and buys your power up to a certain point, which is much more than I will actually use in power generated by biomass, wind, and solar. Now, it's not that the physical electrons that they're generating are coming directly to my house, but I'm investing in the grid and trying to expand. And not only that, I live in this really, really drought-stricken country. We have been, you know, we've had some relief here in New South Wales over the last couple of months, but still, this country is going through dynamic changes in its biosphere, and so Gail and I, when we needed a new washing machine, we went and had options were. And, you know, you have all this 5-star rated stuff. But Gail and I decided to take it one step further. We actually have a manual and crank washing machine that uses 6 liters of water and no electricity. And we actually now find we spend less time. This is the most fascinating bit about it. We spend less time doing laundry stuck to a machine now than if we had an electric machine.
Dude, that rocks. I don't know what to say. It sounds like to me that, well, there you go. I mean, we're talking about being the change we want to see in the world, right? If everyone do exactly what you have done, think of how collectively that would save thousands and thousands and thousands of trees, you name it. Coal, I mean, you know, here in North Carolina, the majority of our power is supplied by coal-burning power plants, which, of course, we know where they're West Virginia, and those guys go down to the mine every single day and put their lives at risk,
yep.
You know, to make sure that I have a light over my head, a computer in front of me, and the ability to watch TV late into the night when I should turn it off and go to sleep. But anyway, that's an aside. But the reality is that maybe if we did some of the things you just talked about, we might save a life. Maybe some of those miners who went down into the Sago mine back last year who died might be alive today. I don't know.
You bet. Hey man, we got another caller on the line. Okay. Phil, how you doing, mate? Welcome to the program.
Thanks, John. And hey, Bruce, man, this is Phil in Daytona Beach. How you been,
Phil? How you doing?
Yeah, man, I'll tell you, I missed you. Really have. Glad to hear you back on the radio.
Missed you too, Phil.
And boy, I know there's probably other callers. So be the change you want to see. You know, another Martin Luther King had
uh-huh.
Well, one of many quotes, there is such a thing as being too late, you
ooh.
Know,
and yeah.
I believe, you know, you talked about, well, what can you do, you know, we have to take this on, but what can we do in something, anything. Do
exactly.
Something, man. You know, in that damn TV,
I love it.
We're paying these corporations to lie to us on this box, you know?
Yep.
And 4.83 hours a day the average American household watches television, and I believe that's why these criminals in Washington continue to get away with what they're doing.
Because American Idol is more important. I mean,
And that's what I mean. You know, we gotta say, you know, stop. Sorry, Bruce, but that's what I mean. We have to take this dialogue, this conversation, to the next level, and that means, you know, calling people on their crap. You know, we've been stuck at this level of saying, you know, identifying their hypocrisy, but we haven't jumped to the next level. You know
exactly.
What I mean? It's
identifying the solution.
It's been like 5 years worth of pointing out their lies and their hypocrisy and all that, and they don't give a damn if you point it out.
They laugh at us.
You see, so we have to take the discussion, and I mean this at the water cooler, at the gas pumps, at the family dinner table, you know, in the hall between classes, you know, on the job there at the construction site, and who knows, maybe even on the radio programs, you know, that's your business, but we've got to take this to the next level. We've got to start calling the Christians on their, we've got to start engaging people, and I really believe Cheney and the whole PNAC crew is still widely unknown, and it's up to us to be the media, because the corporations that are making a ton of money on continued war is not going to tell us about it, you know. And there is such a thing as being too late. And if we think that we're going to win the election in 08, I mean, how many people are dying waiting for us to remove these guys, man? The whole world is like, you know, suffering, wondering when the hell the American people are going to shut their damn television sets off and remove these guys. From Bill, what they're doing.
Quote
John.
Of you know being too late.
Yes.
Statement fairly often recently, and you know I think you're kind of part. You're mentioning something that is part of the consciousness that's starting to develop.
Yes. It better develop and get on. Get on with it, man, because we got three U.S. carrier groups in the Persian Gulf, plus two other countries. I don't know which countries they are. There's five carrier strike groups in the Persian Gulf, and you got these crazy bastards that pulled 9/11. And if you think I'm crazy with this 9/11, people get past this 9/11 truth stuff and start looking into it, damn it, because you know there's ignorance and then there's willful ignorance.
Yeah,
and willful ignorance, you know, laugh, ha ha ha, conspiracy theorist, bullshit. That's willful ignorance. What that is you don't want to look at it, so you call the other person crazy, and that way you don't have to deal with it. The same cats that did 9/11 are ready to do Iran or maybe even somewhere, some other innocent people to get justification to do Iran. It's the same PNAC crowd. And people, there's been a lot of people coming out and presenting this information, but the American people would rather watch 4.83 hours of television per day and play golf on the weekend than have to deal with this. And by not, and we're responsible, and willful ignorance is complicity.
You bet, Phil. You bet.
Phil, you nailed it. You nailed it. You absolutely nailed it.
I hope,
my hope is right there with you. I mean, my view is about militancy. You know, when I say militancy, I don't mean using a military. But what I mean is that there are times when we have to go farther to the left and do things that are a little bit more in people's faces to drag the center back toward the left again. I mean, I remember back...
drag it to the truth, Bruce. Wherever the
drag it to the truth.
Oops, sorry. Wherever the truth takes you, man. And we got the truth. I'm sorry, I interrupted you again.
That's okay.
Bruce.
That's okay.
You know, just like the old days, man. But we got these guys. They wrote the PNAC document in September of 2000, which called for every GD thing they've done to date and are planning on doing. And it's incumbent upon us who are in the know to spread it as to as many people and forget the corporate media. They're not going to do it. And there is such a thing as being too late. We have got to be the media ourselves. Yesterday, I'm at the gas pump at the Citgo. And if you worry, you know, and you people complaining about $3 a gallon, stop buying gas from American companies.
Yeah.
Stop
Citgo.
Going back to them. Buy it from Citgo. Anyway, I'm telling these guys, you know, I'm saying, hey, man, you know what jet fuel is? It's kerosene. Does your kerosene space heater melt overnight in your apartment? Then how the hell is it going to make two skyscrapers blow up in the dust, you know? And then, you know, you get the you give them some common sense. And the thing about 9/11 truth is we have not been told the truth about 9/11 truth. There's too many things that don't make sense. And these were the guys that were in charge on that day and immediately have used it to start these wars of aggression that they wrote about in the PNAC document. I mean, we have got to inform our fellows about this. I'm not claiming, you know...
For those listeners, Phil, I just want to go ahead and clarify something. For those listeners who don't know what the PNAC documents are, it's the People for a New America or
Project for a New American Century, co-founded by Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, Scooter Libby, Paul Wolfowitz, Elliot Abrams, Douglas Feith, everybody that was involved in the lies to start Iraq, and we're still in place pumping up Iran, and they own the media, so they're gonna sell the BS to the sheeple again. So it's so important that those of us that are in the know get on this, man. I tell everybody, and you can say this in a cadence, 911weknow.com. You know, and I tell everybody, man, if I'm stopped at a red light, I tell them. I say, hey, does your kerosene space heater melt at night? No. Well, the same thing as jet fuel. So how does it melt skyscrapers? You know, go take a look at 911weknow.com. You know, and anytime the bill collectors call me, you know, I tell them about it, you know, until they hang up on me. You know what I mean?
You get rid of the
bill
great,
collectors
or
the people trying to sell you something, man. But you know, I'm in the grocery store, Bruce, and, you know, I start talking to the checkout lady. You know, did you know that they had a plan to every this invasion of Iraq and then setting up military bases and then attack Iran and Syria? Did you know they had a plan in September of 2000, way before, a year before 9/11? No. Yeah, it's called the Project for the New American Century. And guess who were the people that founded it? Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld, the ones who started this war. Yeah, yeah. And they're still going to try to do Iran. And it's all lies. We got to tell people. You see what I mean? You can do this, man. You can do it while you're in line at the ATM. You know, I take my junk mail and I take the postage paid envelopes out of the junk mail, and I'll throw a 9/11 truth flyer in it or something from the Downing Street memo. You know, I said Downing Street memo, White House memo, CIA leak, October 2002, National Intelligence Estimate, Paul Pillar's testimony in Congress. We got evidence up to here that they deliberately lied about weapons of mass destruction. You need to look it up, you know. And you just confront people all the time. And I'm mad at these damn Christians, man. You were talking about the religious people. thou shalt mm-hmm. not kill, thou shalt not bear false witness. You know, this is a genocide, man. There's over a million Iraqis killed.
Phil, now, I'm just going to hold.
Look, I need another cup of coffee, huh?
you need another cup of coffee, man. Like you need a hole in that. But you know, I love what you do with the fact of constantly throwing the information out at people. Now, here's the crucial thing about the whole 9/11 truth movement per se. No one has the answers because we have been lied to.
Right.
And I cannot prove that there was nefarious.
If you have investigations, you can get to the truth. We haven't had investigations, John, just the same way as Congress has not had true investigations about the lies to the run-up to the war in Iraq.
I know, and this is exactly my point, Phil.
Yes.
They try and marginalize those who are asking really hard questions, and some of them can be way out there. However, it is the fact...
Hello?
The guys who were involved... Yes.
John, you were breaking up there, sorry.
Okay.
Yes.
But that's what I mean, John.
I'm with you, brother. And these things ain't going to happen until enough of the American people, until enough public sentiment and public demand makes them happen. Because these Congress people, the last thing they want to do is work. The last thing they want to do is have somebody mad at them. You know, mainly campaign contributions from corporations. People, Congress has been stolen from us, man. This whole thing is really in our lap. We're the last people on the block, man. It's we the people. And damn it, these soldiers are killing a million brown people because they're 19, 20-year-old kids and they don't know any better.
No.
And they're getting killed themselves, and Congress is going to keep them over there as long as they can.
Yeah,
stretch
no,
it out it, as long as they can, and it's we're the only ones that can put an end to this. We the people, and we the people have still not been doing enough, and I know we the people can do more. If you just took your week and looked at where your hours are spent, and I swear to God, everyone can find 2 or 3 hours and reallocate it to activism. So, that's my spiel if you're still hearing me. Well, I'm glad you're back, Bruce, if you can still hear me. Man, really missed you, and I hope you're able to come back on the air, even when Bob takes back over. Okay. Thanks a lot, guys.
I appreciate it, Phil. I hope you have a wonderful night, my friend.
Thank you, Bruce. You too, buddy.
Okay. That was our good friend Phil from Daytona, Florida. I got to tell you, John. John, are you still with me there, buddy?
Yes, I am, man.
Okay. I got to tell you, when we hear guys like Phil call in, it ignites something in me, man. Seeing the truth, from hearing the truth, from talking the truth, and from walking, you know, the truth. And it's really kind of sad. So, you know, one can only think that it's going to take, dare I use the term, a nuclear blast of some kind to jar them out of this sort of semi-state of consciousness. Are you still there with me, buddy? Okay. Okay, well, maybe he went away. Oh, my goodness. You know, Phil definitely called it perfectly right. And you know, as we're getting toward the end of our program tonight, and maybe John will join me at some point again. I don't know if he's on with us still, but, you know, there is such a thing as being too late.
Hi,
what
Bruce.
He meant, okay, are you back with me now?
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's okay. Well, you know, when Phil said that there's a such thing as being too late, you know, he's absolutely right. And you know what? There's another quote, and I can't remember who said it, but it seems to be appropriate this time, and that is that
well, the stream has never stopped, and it seems like we're having some bandwidth issues that the X-Lite and chat and things of that nature seems to be kind of making a pull. John, are you there? Bruce?
Yes, I am. Agnes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Did you ever lose me?
Yeah. We've been losing off and on, but it seems like that there's a bandwidth issue that between all the...
Okay.
Everything's on T1 here. And with all the calls and the chats and the X light up and everything, it seems to be taking a toll on everything going on because the streamer's staying on and all's good. And I will let you finish the wrap and we'll take it out and we'll be back with Peter Godbold.
Okay. You know, I did want to thank John for joining me this evening. I wanted to thank you, Agnes, for doing all the good stuff that you do at the network and helping keeping the lights on and the motors running and the worriers worrying. Being tripped down the rabbit hole, so to speak, we've talked about all kinds of things: quantum physics, religion, you know, healing from deep wounds that through. You know, and in the end, what really matters, though, in the end, what really matters is not what we did yesterday, but what we're going to do tomorrow. What really matters is what I wake up every day and face the world with. And what am I going to be a positive part of society? I'll be back on the air. If you want to comment, if you want to send me an email, let me know what you think about the show tonight and or any comments you may have. You can send those to Bruce Birch, that's B-U-R-C-H, BruceBirch@gmail.com. That you can hit that email account 24/7 all the time. You know, and last but not least, you know, the one thing that Phil talked about, that I talked about, that John talked about, and this is what holds true for all of us. It's your democracy, too, and it's not a spectator sport. So go out and make a difference in your world. And last, but not least, of course, RMR. It's all for you.
This is the Quality News Network. A proposal to regulate troop combat deployments fell four votes short of the 60 votes required to advance in the Senate. Democratic Senator Jim Webb and Republican Senator Chuck Hagel backed the proposal. It would have required U.S. troops spend as much time at home as they did overseas before they can be deployed to the warfront again. It is the second failure for this bill, which was seen as a way to force President Bush to change his Iraq strategy. Iraq's prime minister is disputing American security contractor Blackwater's version of a recent shooting that left 11 Iraqis dead. Although the incident is under investigation, Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki wants the U.S. to replace the private security force. For the second day, all land travel by U.S. civilian officials outside the secure green zone in Baghdad has been suspended. The U.S. company Blackwater is largely responsible for providing security to all American civilian government employees in Iraq. President Bush wants a temporary spy law to be expanded and made permanent. It's part of the Protect America Act, which allows eavesdropping on suspected terrorists without a court order. Opponents say the measure gives too much power to the president. The Senate did not provide enough votes to pass legislation that would have given military detainees expanded rights, including the right to protest their detention in federal court. Only four more votes were needed to cut off that debate. A bomb blast in Christian suburb east of Beirut this morning killed an anti-Syrian lawmaker and six others. This was the eighth well-known anti-Syrian leader to be killed in the past 2 years. According to a report from Iran's semi-official state news agency, the country has plans to bomb Israel if it attacks. A top commander in Iran's Air Force says airstrikes will target Israel if the Israeli government, quote, makes a silly mistake. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has been denied permission to visit the World Trade Center.